Now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's time for the Fashion Rewired broadcast with Brian Hill. During the Fashion Rewired podcast, we chat with successful fashion designers and business entrepreneurs who share their powerful stories of success while providing real-time industry tips, tools, and actionable strategies to execute today, with the goal of designing our listeners' brands for success. Now, here's your host, Brian Hill.
Welcome to Fashion Rewired. I'm your host, Brian Hill, self-taught designer and executive director of Phoenix Fashion Week. So why is it important to rewire? Well, I believe that every successful fashion designer and entrepreneur at one time or another made the smart and necessary decision to rewire their brain, their attitude, but most importantly, their actions to get them to their current level of success. Each week, I get to share stories of transformation with our listeners while giving you the blueprint to rewire. I love to open each episode by thanking the sponsors that believe in Fashion Rewired. Fact, each season, Phoenix Fashion Week turns away hundreds of emerging fashion designers that apply for the Live Designer Bootcamp. This year, we created the six-week-long Digital Designer Bootcamp, where emerging fashion talent from around the world and from the comfort of their own home via mobile, laptop, or desktop will follow a structured curriculum online focused on the very important business side of their fashion brands. In a short 6 weeks, the fashion experts will teach, transform, and lay out the blueprint to build and run a successful fashion brand for 2021 and beyond. To apply, email digital@phoenixfashionweek.com. My next guest hails all the way from Jakarta, Indonesia, located in Southeast Asia and north of Australia for the geographically challenged. Tomish Aswani is the creative force behind top international streetwear brand Ageless Galaxy, a lifestyle brand inspired by time and outer space exploration. Tomish earned his bachelor's degree in graphic design from Curlin University in Malaysia, as well as a degree in digital design from the Vancouver Film School, which is where Ageless Galaxy was initially born as only a school project. But it was put on the back burner. It was only after being diagnosed with and ultimately beating cancer did Tomish decide to leverage the time he had on Earth to leave a legacy for mankind to remember. Man, Thomas, that's a major statement, bro.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You have done a lot in a young age.
It was a very weird time in my life, and I had to make a certain decision. And, you know, I just pushed and pushed, and I pulled through, and I'm still pushing. You know, now we have the pandemic on our shoulders, and it's like never ending challenges, but like, you know, you can't stop. You have to do whatever it takes, right?
Right. The life of a fashion designer. You being so creative, is there one fashion fact you can share with us about Tomish?
A fashion fact?
Yeah.
You mean like, let's say like something that I would like always have on me?
Yeah. Something that everybody knows you by fashionably.
Well, so I like to collect sneakers, but as much as I collect like different type of shoes or sneakers, right? You will always see me wear a pair of Vans Authentic, like regardless, which is so weird. Like I will go out of my way to get like the dopest like kicks.
Yep.
But my day to day beaters, like everyone knows, like Tomish and his Vans, like always wear his Vans. You know, it's kind of funny. And I will like, if I have to like, you know, if I had to like die or anything, I would like to my grave, I will have to take, you know, a pair of Vans with me. Like I always have a pair of Vans with me, no matter what. You know, I just don't know why. I don't know why that's like a thing, you know?
Right.
And if they get beaten up, I will get another pair of the same black authentic Vans.
Got it. All right. I'm writing this down. Tomish and his Vans. That is the quote to start this day out. Man, there's so much to unpack on what you've done so far. We're going to go down a journey of how you did your rewire. But tell us, what drives Tomish today?
Well, to start it all, like, I mean, if we go back a little bit, Ageless Galaxy was started back when I was in college, right? Mm-hmm. And it started as a final year school project. But what really drives me was when I went through that whole experience of battling cancer when I was when I just finished school, when mm-hmm. I finished college, basically, mm-hmm. right? And I was put into this you know, this position of life and death, mm-hmm. right? And when you go through that, you know, things just happen in a weird way. You know, you're put into positions of like making a choice on like how you want to proceed life, right? And when I went through that whole cancer experience, I mean, yes, I was pretty young. You know, this mm-hmm. was like probably 8 years ago, mm-hmm. 8, 9 years ago. And going through that at such a young age, it was very difficult for me to be able to be like, am I going to survive this or not? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was basically when I had my head straight together about like, I got to survive this. I got to do whatever I got to do to get out of this and really do something that I can be remembered for. That was basically my drive till today. And I keep pushing for that. You know, I keep pushing for like, I have this fear of it ever coming back. I don't want to be in a position that I can't afford to treat it or pay for hospital bills or, you know, because it's an expensive disease to treat, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was a really big eye opener for me to really, make a statement to myself that like, you know, whatever I create, whatever I do from then or from here on, it's all for the purpose of making sure that, you know, I want to be in a place where I'm like financially free, you mm-hmm, know, and still do what I love and potentially take care of everybody around me that, you know, I love and just create like a positive vibe type of being, you know? Wow. Yeah. So wow. my drive is that, you know, it's to survive constantly.
Right.
And, yeah, man.
I love it. Man, take us back. I know it has to be a tough time to even go back and think about, but, you're young, just out of college. And you told me, right. You weren't feeling too well and, maybe losing some weight and you go and get that diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah.
Can you take us to that exact moment?
Yeah, I know it's really weird because we just got on a call like yesterday, so it feels like, you know, we already spoke about it, but it's cool. Let's rewind a bit, all right?
Yeah.
So how it happened was I graduated college, you know, just a regular kid, took design course, and I was ready to get like, you know, get on my way of life and look for a job and, you know, what regular people would do, you know? Mm-hmm. And from then, you know, I finished school, started looking for a job, and I was back in Vancouver at the time, things weren't just working out for me. It was like winter. I was trying to look like studios were not hiring like people with like an international passport. It was just like a weird time. Things were not working out for some reason. Mm-hmm. I still had some freelance gigs going on, but I felt like I was just like going through the weeks of just trying to make enough money to pay my rent, et cetera, et cetera. And I went through this place of like, you know, just being like from stoked to like super depressed, you mm-hmm. know? And then that took a toll on my health and I started to lose a lot of weight. And then I started to develop this one cough and then, you know, things were just not working out. Like I felt like the universe was trying to tell me something, mm-hmm. you know, during that time. And I wasn't sure what it was. So I decided to like, you know, fly back to Jakarta, you know, where I grew up, you know, Indonesia. So I come back to Indonesia and then I realized I met my mom and dad at the airport. And the first thing my mom, she was like, what happened to you? You know, like I lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. I went down to like 42 kilos, you know,
wow.
That was like pathetically skinny, you know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man, like I went to see a doctor and, you know, I went for my checkup and I went to see 2-3 doctors just to make sure. Some doctor said it was tuberculosis, TB, mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. it was similar symptoms to what this other doctor said who he said it was potentially Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is the type of cancer that I had. Mm-hmm. And then I see Indonesia is not really known well for like really good hospital and medical systems, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. It's not like the best place to get treated for, especially if you have cancer. So I flew to Singapore and I met a doctor over there. It's an hour flight, so it's an easy one for me to do. Mm-hmm. I flew to Singapore, and then eventually I met this doctor who checked me, and she confirmed that I had stage 4 cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there and I was just like, yo, like, I just finished school, you know, I was just about to start my life. I was just about to, you know, get a job. And I think that was where everything, took a left turn, and I had to really reflect on what I wanted to do to keep my mentality strong, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And honestly, the whole cancer thing really hit me when I hit my fifth round of chemo, when it started to get pretty tough, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I had to do chemo 12 times every 2 weeks. I would fly to Singapore every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Like, you go to the hospital, right? You juice up on chemo, mm-hmm. and then you come back to Jakarta. You spend 2 weeks. 1 week, you feel like shit, you know, and then you have to recover. 1 week, you recover, and then you're back at it for another round, and you got to do that 12 times. Wow. It was like a mental thing, you know, for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so around that whole time, I had a lot of time on my plate. I mean, I was still doing a lot of design work for like friends, brands, and, you know, like freelancing. I was doing a lot of art related stuff. I just kept doing things that made me happy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I was in this place where, like, yeah, you know, like, I just, the only thing I'm good at is like design, graphics, mm-hmm. you know, and whenever I do that, that gives me a sense of peace, you know? And that was kind of like where, one day I was cleaning up my laptop, my desktop, right? And I was just like looking, you know, just organizing some files, looking at some of the old stuff that I did in school and some freelance stuff. And then I came across that folder, Asia's Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
where I put a lot of effort into this, and I felt like my past self created something for my future self. You know, it was past Tomish already prepared this, you know, this little thing, you know. And then I opened up the file, I started looking at all these graphics, and I came across this quote that I wrote, live to strive, strive to live,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Asia's Galaxy was really about, you know, mankind really trying to reach for the stars and be remembered for doing something epic, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a brand that I created about perseverance and pushing, you know, and reaching your goals. And mm-hmm. I was really big on people like Jeff Staple, you know, Edson from Pata, mm-hmm. Benny Gold, you know, mm-hmm. these guys, when they created their streetwear brands, they were all about like community, and there was all about that. They were all about like really more people over product, you know, and mm-hmm. storytelling aspects. And that was kind of like, these guys were like on my mood board, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I looked at them as like inspiration, more like, you know, mentors, where I never even knew them or I never even met them. Like, they were just like images of them and like stuff of what they did in that mood board, you know? And that's kind of like how I based the expectations of what I wanted this brand to be, but still give it my twist and my taste and design, et cetera, right?
Sure, sure.
So yeah, and that's kind of like what I did. I opened this file, I look at it, and I'm like, okay, let's get cracking. I started like, you know, procrastinate. When I procrastinate, I design. You know, it's weird. Like, I just... when I'm bored, I design random stuff on my computer. You got to really love this to like make it a part of your lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So started banging out some graphics, you know, some type stuff. And then I also had this other quote that I made, which was committed to time. You know, the galaxy lives forever, but your time is so limited, right? And mm-hmm. now I'm battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My time is even more limited. I'm basically on a countdown,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how much awesome can I do and be remembered for it was kind of like where I'm at right now, right? And if I survive, then I'm buying more time. And if I bought more time, that time is so valuable for me because, you know, you never know when you're going to just pass away, right? So these were all like the little elements that put me in a perspective of like, fuck, I got to get my shit together. You know, I got to really believe in this method of like positivity and survival. And I got to push with that, you mm-hmm. know. And I started to live that mentality. I started to make this whole cancer thing like a game. I started to make my life like a game, you know. I had like that one Benny Goal snapback that said golden on it, you mm-hmm. know, his mantra, stay gold. And then I had like, you know, a couple of toys that I collected from like really dope like designers to like, you know, support. Like there was just, I had these little things that like kept me as reminders you know, motivational aspects. You know, I had this one little teardrop vinyl figure that I collected, that I got from this one designer named Gavin Strange. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who created, he's the graphic designer that works on this team that creates Shaun the Sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know that cartoon, Shaun the Sheep, right? Now, which is so weird because I used to follow Gavin as a fan and I knew that he was this, designer that followed, was part of the agency that creates Shaun the Sheep. And when I was battling cancer, every time I used to take like the 2 o'clock session. So I land in Singapore and get checked up and then go for the chemo. So the 2 o'clock window is like my favorite, right? Mm-hmm. So I can make it back to get back on my flight back to Jakarta. Anyway, so what's weird was every time I had my chemo session, Shaun the Sheep would play on TV. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the things that you're inspired by are somewhat like kind of talking to you for motivation.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that was, Shaun the Sheep would always make me like laugh while I was just sitting on I call it the throne, you know, where you get mm-hmm. chemo, that little chair. Mm-hmm. I call it the throne because that's the only time where you feel like a king, but you're like juicing up on a cocktail of chemo, you know. But
right.
Shaun the Sheep would make me laugh and just make me feel happy, you know, and you kind of need to feel happy when you're going through that, right? And so all these people were kind of like my motivation of what I was, and they became some sort of a support system of what Agents Galaxy is today, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And I had to make it a mission that I had to meet all of these people. I had to make them my friends. I did not want to just be a fan. I wanted to make them affiliates. I want to make them people that I can talk to and look for more inspiration and be on a level, you know, and create a brand that eventually gets respected worldwide. And that was kind of like the mission I was on. And 7 years later, here I am still doing it. And,
what a story.
Like I battled cancer. I fucking won it. You know, I finished all the rounds of chemo and I kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And then eventually I started Agents Galaxy.
Well, man, that's so much in such a short
it's
amount of time.
It's too much. Like, I don't know how to like compartmentalize it. There's just so much going on. You know?
Yeah. it was so, so inspiring just to hear what you said and with the passion as well. And so when you talk about you making a decision on the throne or on the flight, whenever you knew that Agents Galaxy, the designs that might have been talking to you from your past, right? Which I love that. That's a little Terminator style, right? Coming in the future in the past and talking
like
to yourself.
Capsule.
I love it. Tell me about when you really did make up your mind that you thought you had something with Agents Galaxy, the designs, and you also made your mind up that you were going to fight and not succumb to cancer. I want to know about the action step, the number one action step that led you to launch a clothing line from the throne. What was that first thing you did, that action?
So I would always have my sketchbook and I would always draw, you know, I would always have these ideas of like, you know, I'm big on like typography and like logo stuff, you know, and every time I see something, I would just like, I would always sketch. I would always sketch like what would the graphic look like and how would it be executed on a garment, like a t-shirt or whatever. And to be honest, like I'm not a fashion designer. I'm a graphic designer. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about like how I needed to have like some sort of a partner, you mm-hmm. know, I felt like I couldn't do this on my own, mm-hmm. you know, like I felt like I needed like somebody who could help. Like, I mean, as a freelancer, I was pretty decent with like business side of things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like you get a client, you know, you negotiate the deal, you get paid and you get to work and, you know, you get money and you keep moving, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you are starting a company, right, like I really recommend like finding that particular partner that brings weight to your, you know, to whatever you're doing, like fills in the gaps of where your weaknesses are,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Like I'm good at like sealing deals and getting the money, but like handling the money is like where my weakness is, you know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
That's where like, I used to go to this one bookstore here in Jakarta, which they sold a lot of really good design books and stuff. And one of my really good friends, who's now my partner for the past 7-8 years, his name is Georgi Krishno. He's the other half of Aegis Galaxy. He used to be the head manager over there, and every time I used to hang out there, I used to run into, we call him OG.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Georgi, but we call him OG.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to run into OG and catch up with him, you know, and just kick it a while here and there. But when I had cancer, I kind of like shut down, right? I didn't socialize too much for like a good year till I was confident to go out again, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I finished everything, I decided, let me go back to this bookstore. And weirdly, this time I had no eyebrows. I was completely bald. I was just like an alien, you know, just out of like a spaceship. And I'm just going out to look for inspiration, look for books. And this is like pre-Instagram was like a thing, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I was still on my BlackBerry. I didn't even have an Instagram account, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I meet up with, like, I was at the bookstore, and suddenly OG comes out for a smoke. And he noticed me. He was like, Tomish? I was like, yeah, man. Like, dude, it's been a minute. He was like, what happened to you? Like, I just survived cancer. This is crazy. You know what I mean? And we caught up and had lunch together. And then it took a few hangouts until I opened up to him about like what I had on my mind. And I didn't expect him to be like my business partner right away. We were just friends, you know. We would have barbecues. I would go to his house, and we would just hang out, you know, with our other friends and stuff. And then one day he just started telling me about, like, you know, he wanted to go and start his own thing, but he does not know what. He just felt like there was no more accomplishments at the place he was at. There was nowhere to go after that position he was at, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was kind of like what happened. And then, you know, I said, well, I have this little thing that I've been working on, and it's this brand called Aegis Galaxy. And I explained to him about, like, this is kind of like what made me survive cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This mentality, I embodied it, I lived it, you know what I mean? And that was kind of like where he was looking at me. He was like, well, wow, this is very intense and crazy. So he was like, all right, slowly he bought into the idea. And then I was like, but I have no money. We had no money. We started this company with $0.
Right.
You
right.
know, like no parents giving us money. There was no like I'm not like a rich kid or anything. You know, it's just like a middle class family, you know, like, yeah, we had no money, you know. And me and we were not even thinking about looking for like an investor, you know, because I was like, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to do this from scratch by ourselves. And I had a few projects running, right? So I told OG, like, I think the way we're going to fund this is maybe you help me manage a few design projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we make some cash from there, and that can go into the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take it from there and see how it goes,
mm-hmm.
right? And OG said, all right, but he can't quit his job because, you know, he needed to see if this was going to be a real thing.
Right.
So I was like, all right, cool. That's it. That's all I need. I just need you to believe me. That's it. So I brought in some projects, started helping me out. I banged out all the designs. We got the money. And then we started to recycle that cash into our clothing. You know, sampling the first collection was sucked, by the way, because we had to go through like 10 different factories to get the one that really makes what Aegis Galaxy it is today, you know what I mean? And so anyways, so OG starts helping me out. I start designing and cracking. So right above the bookstore that we he used to work at, there was this cafe that's where I used to work. So 9 to 5, OG would work at the bookstore. 9 to 5, I'll work at the cafe on the projects that we're handling. And then 5 to 10 p.m., OG would come up and work on Aegis Galaxy. But from 9 to 10 p.m., I would be working on Aegis Galaxy. So can you imagine? Like, it's just...
I love it. I love it.
It's like an all day like vision, you know. And then after that, you know, we got a few projects. Luckily, we got a few projects from Amsterdam. Some DJ wanted a DJ network wanted us to do some graphics, and then I think that was where OG started to see that, okay, I think we could like turn this into like a real business, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was kind of like where. You know, things became very serious, and one thing led to another, and the projects were getting a bit more intense. And then I was like, yo, OG, I think you're gonna have to, like, you know, quit your job, you know. And I kind of gave him an ultimatum. I was like, I kind of need you all in, because I need somebody to help build a foundation. Potentially we need a studio, and then we need to hire people, and then we need to make sure that, like, you know, somebody has got this thing on lockdown while I'm like bringing all, like, you know, running it, you know. And then, yeah, and then that's how it all happened. And till today, 7 years later, we're still doing the same thing. Aegis Galaxy operates as a creative agency. We've had the opportunity to work with such fucking amazing clients on this end till today. Like, I'm so proud of like my team that we've built. I'm so proud of OG. Like I could not like ask for a partner any better than that. Like, he's like, we both are like yin and yang, you know what I mean?
I love it. Love it.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy how like we've grown with each other, and we know how we think. I know what he likes. He knows what I like. It's just like the decision he's going to make, he knows the decision I'm going to make. Like, it's just this crazy relationship that we have. And and that's kind of like how it went. You know, it became what it was.
Right. There's a lot in there, but I always like to try and figure out, you know, everyone wants to follow or be inspired by what Thomas did, and he really looking at death in the face. Right. And so as I assess these kind of action steps, here's what you really did. If you go back, you made up your mind to live your best life. Like, you had to start there. Just like you had to wake up one day, like, listen, I got to live my best life and strive for that. Right. Second, you just started creating, which is what you do, and sketched. I love that, because that opened your mind up that there was really something there. And then you went on to find the right partner that can balance your weaknesses, but also leverage your network. Those are the three steps that really turned you into Aegis Galaxy. Yeah. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. So when you go back and you think about those actions that you did with OG, right, that I just laid out for our listeners, can you talk about some habits that came out of those actions that you still execute today? Some habits that you didn't know you were even doing, or maybe you adopted so that you could run this brand and balance everything. What are some habits?
Keeping consistency is something that you should make like a habit, you know. Having consistency for anything that you're doing, never do it half-ass. You know, there are times where we've noticed where we just half-ass a certain like project or whatever. It always somehow, like, you know, hit us back, you know what I mean?
It
always somehow like backlashed. You know what I'm saying? And that is something that like till today, like, we whenever, you know, we are about to fall into that category of being lazy, we are, like, one of us will always remind each other, it's like, nah, man, we can't do that.
Right.
You know, like, no, we have to do this. We have to put the little extra effort into that special deck, you know, when we're trying to get that project, you know? And we have this one thing to each other. If any of us ever slack, we have like the full right to come out and be like, dude, you're slacking. You know what I mean?
Got it.
And so that constant reminder for one, and look, we're only human, you know, one of us gets tired at different times. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's what I mean by that yin and yang relationship, you know, like, don't get me wrong. There are times where I'm just like, fuck, I'm just so out of this. You know, I'm so beat. I'm so tired. I fought cancer, man. Like, give me a break. You know what I mean? And, yeah, but then but there ain't no break in life. You know what I mean?
No.
It's you gotta keep your, you gotta keep pushing and building, you know? And I think that's where OG and I have that amazing synergy. And we both know each other very well to a point where when OG needs a timeout, he just leaves the city. He goes out, travels to Amsterdam, you know, hang out with some friends, you know, and this, the same thing with me, you know, you just need that good 1 week of like, go and do something else and come back at it. And you just reboot and recalibrate and get back right into the ring, you know?
Right. Right. Always constant rewires are happening, throughout life and business, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. If you slack, you can be called out and be accountable. Mercedes-Benz,
yes.
You're best or nothing. That's, that keeps you out of the half-ass and things. And consistency is key.
Yeah.
Like, I love those habits. So can you tie these habits, right? So what we just talked about, into really your biggest accomplishment to date, what would that be based on these habits working for you, Tomish?
Yeah. My biggest accomplishment to date is we opened our fucking store during a pandemic. Like, dude, I cannot explain to you enough. I thought, like, you know, when you finish cancer, you feel like, yes, there's nothing left that is can be worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like the universe is giving you the worst, right?
Right.
Now, what's crazy about 2020 was it was already in our plan. Like, we, like 2019, we killed it. We did amazing collabs locally, a few collabs internationally. And then we were doing amazing, what do you call it, creative projects. I did like an awesome collaboration with a really sick restaurant from Singapore called Burnt Ends. Shout out to my man Dave. That guy's a legend. You should do a talk with Dave on your podcast,
okay,
if you ever get to.
I'm writing it down.
Anyways,
Burnt End, Dave.
So, yeah, and Dave runs a restaurant which is 50 Best, and it's that story is another thing. So I got Dave to do a pop up in Jakarta with Mercedes Benz. And we did this amazing, cool party for 400 people where Dave barbecued. It was a crazy, cool activation to really push on that note of the best or nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think what I'm trying to say here is everything was like green light. And the vision was there that me and OG, we were going to open up our shop, you know. And the reason why we wanted to open a store is because regardless of, like, you have stockists, right, carrying your brand,
mm-hmm.
right? The issue for us was, it's cool, they can rep, and they help, like, educate their audience who we are and motivate them to buy the products. But it doesn't beat you having your own platform and your own store where people can come and experience your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it took us 7 years to build the foundation of our brand, to build the following of our city, Jakarta. And locally, like, Jakarta is a big enough city for you to, if you can win the heart of Jakarta City, you know, it's, that's fucking awesome.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I really wanted our city I wanted to hold it down for our city, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to show that little bit of a pride of like where we're from, you know, and show the rest of the world who we are. And make that one store that if you come to Jakarta and you're into streetwear, you come and you find Aegis Galaxy and you meet us and you get to know what we're all about, right?
Right.
It's like you go to Amsterdam, you got to go to the Pata store, right?
Right.
You go to New
right.
York, you got to go probably Supreme. You go to LA, you got to go Fairfax,
mm-hmm.
you know? And,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of wanted to have that one thing in Jakarta where if you're into that thing, you come out and you can meet us and we could tell you more about what's cool to do in the city and link with the cool people of the city and have a good time, right?
Right. Jakarta's got a great entertainment city, I heard. Good nightlife. So I'm looking forward to adding that to my list.
Yes. Jakarta is amazing. We have amazing food. We have amazing, a lot of amazing creative people out here. It's a fantastic city. And we've come a long way in terms of development and infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So like when the pandemic's over, man, you should come out. It's a great place to vibe out. I mean, a lot of people think about Bali as, I know it's like an island, it's got beaches. It's great. You can go Bali too.
Yeah.
But like Jakarta is like our capital, you know,
and
there's a lot of cool cool things going down. Anyway, so coming back to the store thing, right? With or without the pandemic, we never knew the pandemic was coming down. Mm-hmm. Our cash flow was very steady. Mm-hmm. All the store accounts that were carrying us, you know, you see the numbers. It was like, you know, we can open a shop, you know, we can pay bills. Everything is good. Like we were like ready to go, you know, like 7 years, all that effort, like was there, you know, we were ready. So 2019, you know, we did a tour with Pata. We did a big event. Like there's a big sneaker community here called Urban Sneaker Society. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my boy Jejo as well. He's the guy who runs that. So we flew Edson and Danny from Pata to Jakarta, and you know, to do guest speaking and motivate, like, you know, young kids about like streetwear and talk about culture. And Pata is all about that storytelling stuff, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so inspired by them. So brought them out to Jakarta, and I remember I showed Edson. I was like, "Yo, Edson, this is where we're gonna open our store." And it was just like rough, raw bricks and cables hanging out. And he was looking at me, and he was just like, "Man, this is gonna be amazing if you really, you know, do it right." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." And I was so excited about it. And you know, he flew back to Amsterdam, and me and Oji were ready to like get cracking on the shop. Mm-hmm. And that was 2019, straight into 2020. We started hearing about this virus, and I like, you know, it ain't going to come to Jakarta. We're so polluted anyways. Like our immune system is so strong. Like, fuck this. Like, we're going to be all right. And then we started hearing cities were going to lockdown. And then, you know, by March, things got really left. Right. And then the cases started to appear here. And then every day, me and OG would just like play it by the day and figure out how are we going. And then the mall started to close. And then our cash flow for the brand shut down, mm-hmm. right? There was mm-hmm. no money coming in for a good like 3 months, mm-hmm. except our online. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, that was a weird time. Nobody wanted to buy. Nobody wanted to shop. Everybody was losing their minds. Mm-hmm. So, but on the creative side, you got to understand, I got two sides of the business, right? We have the agency mm-hmm. and we have the brand, mm-hmm. right? On the creative side, weirdly, a lot of our clients started to trip because they needed to portray themselves that to their audience that they're going to be all right. They're good. They have it under control. They're practicing safety protocols, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, we had to help out with content development, communication strategies, making sure that this is this, design that poster, whatever, 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 run Instagram accounts. All of a sudden, my creative, like the agency side, we were just packed out with a lot of work.
Right.
And that was basically what saved our business during the pandemic, right?
Right.
So now my monthly cash flow and sales from like my stockist suddenly shuts down, right? But creative all of a sudden takes off because all our clients need help and they, you know, we built relationships with them. They know that we can do this to help them look good during the pandemic. Right. So I was so lucky that we had this creative agency running that really saved our asses, you know. And then now me and OG are trying to figure out how are we going to open this store because we were supposed to open last year in March. And that was at the peak of the pandemic when people were losing their minds. We were in lockdown and self-isolation and all that other stuff. Right. So yeah, and then we had to sit down and we figured out, okay, how are we going to do this? Like we already paid rent. Oh, here's the thing about Indonesia, which sucks. When you rent a space, let it be an apartment or let it be a space, a workspace, mm-hmm. you got to pay 1 year up front.
Whoa.
Rent.
Whoa.
Yeah. You don't pay on the monthly, which drives me nuts till today. I don't know why it's like this, but it's just the way of life over here.
Okay.
So every year you pay 1 year up front. It's a lot of money. So cash flow, everything just gets disrupted. Mm-hmm. So luckily we already paid our rent out, right? We mm-hmm. paid our rent out and now I'm like, well, we paid the rent. So we need to kind of continue building our space. We can't just like leave it like this, you know, for a whole year, right? And yeah, so we started to do all these like different strategies online and whatever, as much as little money comes in on brand side all of a sudden, okay, we have this money, we can make the floor. We paint the floor. We have this much money coming in, we painted the walls. This much money coming in with the logo goes up, you know, all the way till 4 months ago where, you know, the electricity came in and everything started to come together and slowly the mall started opening, slowly more cash flow started coming. I mean, obviously creative was funding the brand just as like we were borrowing money from our creative side just so that the brand, the store was coming together, you know, and it was quite interesting to see. Well, you see, me and OG started from nothing, right? And when you start from nothing, if you lose everything, you could just start all over again because, you know, you have nothing to lose. Like you just start all over again, right? Sure. It's kind of like the reboot system in our, in both of us that like, dude, we start from nothing. We had nothing. So if we lose it all, we just do it all over again, you know? And that was kind of like why we were so good at managing expectations regardless. And it was really, and I think the beauty of that was, okay, we didn't open in March, but we opened, October, November. And I mean, you know, like, it was around November, we were fully operational as a store. And I was looking at OG and I was like, fuck man, we actually opened the shop, you know, like with almost no money and like on the micro, like whatever funds were coming in, we were slowly getting it together. And yeah, like, of course, so that I'm fucking proud that we did that. That was a big accomplishment for us. You know, it was we didn't like pussy out right during the pandemic. Say, oh, okay, you know what? We ain't gonna open the store because of the pandemic and use it as a reason. But what happened was we went for it and we said, no pandemic. We're opening the shop regardless. We'll figure it out as we go. And that's the mentality of Aegis Galaxy. That's the mentality of my team. Everybody on our team are like slayers and we really pulled it together. And now this is our fourth month we're open and we're still new and it's our baby. And I think it's amazing of how it looks and, how the assortments, like we carry Pata in our shop, you know, we carry Aegis Galaxy. Our team is fully loaded with like stories of like how we all came together to make this happen. Like everybody plays such a big part at Aegis Galaxy, you know? Yeah, dude,
man, it's
I'm getting goosebumps talking about this.
We're all getting goosebumps.
Cause we opened the store, you know, like it was not going to happen at some point. If we did not make the right decisions, we would have not been able to pull through. And I'm just tripping that how crazy that happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to dig into how you actually did it. We're at the halfway point, believe it or not. We're going to take you into the garment district right after this sponsor. Thank you.
Okay.
Hang on. The Custom Shop. As you know, before my rewire, I launched and ran my own fitness apparel brand. Now today I consult, invest in, and private label design and manufacture custom apparel for brands across the nation. Does your brand need unique, high quality lifestyle apparel like t-shirts, hats, leggings, and more with your branded logo or slogan? Or do you need real-time consultation on your brand? Reach out to me for more information and custom apparel quotes. Email info@phoenixfashionweek.com. And we're back, Fashion Rewired, the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Hill. I'm on with my man, Thomas, all the way from Indonesia. He is the brain and also the creator behind Aegis Galaxy. Thomas, I mean, you gave us so much in the first half of the podcast. Now we're going to dig into the business side so we can help these listeners and these young designers do exactly what you did, right? So we always like to talk about wholesale and retail when it comes to a brand. Wholesale, you're selling to a big box, distributors, stores, and then retail, you're selling direct to consumer. It seems to me you're doing a little bit of both. Would you also categorize Aegis as wholesale and retail?
Yes, we do. Like, let's say our international accounts, we sell them at wholesale. The accounts that we have, they do a really good job, like really, educating their audience on who we are. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. But like I said, nothing beats you actually meeting us in person and experience, what we are, because when you're in another store with like a couple of brands, not just one brand, right. Couple of brands, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of stories being explained, right? Mm-hmm, but at our shop, it's really mostly about who we are and what we're about, right? So So yeah, we do wholesale, and we do what do you call it?
Retail.
Like just, yeah, retail.
Direct to consumer.
And yeah, and it's been so far, it's been great. And we've just been taking baby steps and baby steps. We have one account in the UK, in a city called Norwich. Mm-hmm. Our man Damon, he's the one who owns the store called Main Source. It's a really nice neighborhood sneaker store that carries amazing brands, and Damon really holds it down for us. Like, I love that dude, you know. That city has castles. It's awesome. You know, we did a pop-up over there 2 years ago, and yeah, it was great time. I love how he executed who we were, and it was really awesome to see when I landed in Norwich, to see like how the kids over there, or like the barista across the coffee shop, was like repping Ageless. And I'm like, it's just amazing to see how like a brand from Jakarta can make an impact in a city like that, you know? And yeah, so, and we have one in France right now. Well, I mean, we're still fairly, you know, coming out from Indonesia, it's not very easy for us to just get into stores around the world, you know, it's more of, we have to like really put in the work, because we're not like a city that people like think about, you know what I mean? It's normally right. about like brands from like LA, New York, or Japan, or Hong Kong, you know, or yeah, but like Indonesia, like you never hear about that, you know? So if I send out emails to like certain stores, they're like, I don't know about that. You know, like we're known for like production and producing garments and things like we're the sure. factory country. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure.
But
tell us from wholesale, tell us your approach. Yeah. Tell us your successful approach to how you dug into wholesale, and then tell us what your approach is to retail, which I think retail, just hearing you talk, is about storytelling. Yeah. But tell us about how you approach wholesale successfully.
So, you need to fly out. You need to get out of your city or where you are. You're gonna have to go and take the personal approach to meet the person mm-hmm. that is running the store that you want to be in, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, because nothing beats actually meeting the person in person and talking about your story and showing them what you're all about, you know, for them to bite on where you're at and like what you believe in, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like how we approached it, you know, like me and OG, we travel a lot. We built relationships over time. You know, we recently did a collab with Jeff Staple. That relationship was for almost 3 years in the making.
Right.
You know, we worked on projects as an agency before the collaboration thing came out. You know, I flew out to LA to check out Agenda just to meet, you know, and connect with other creatives and other brands. And, you know, we relinked with Jeff over there, hung out, and we just kept it at that. There was no objective of like, you're Jeff Staple, we need to work together. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just, he knew who we were. We knew who he was. And, you know, yes, he was an inspiration. He still is. And I still have a lot of love and respect for the guy. And I've gotten to know him over the years, and his wife, Lindsay, she's awesome too. And it's just super, super cool to see that, you know, we just look at each other as friends, and that's it. Wherever he needs help, we can help. We'll do that. And sometimes it's just about that. And when the right time comes, a collaboration can spawn, you know, and that's how we look at it. You got to just get out there. You can't just send an email, you know. You can't. You got to just go and meet and show, like bring your clothes, rep your product, wear the jacket that you took forever to work on, you know.
Right.
Talk about like how complicated it was, you know, where you made the buttons, you know, how is that zipper, what was your thinking about why you put that extra pocket in there, you know, or how does the graphic make sense, the colorway aspect, all these things come into play. And when you start putting that into the conversation, like somebody that actually really cares about that, those type of things will bite on it and be like, yeah, this is kind of like what I want to sell in my shop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I love that.
And that's how we do it. You know, like we don't just put our stuff into any store,
good,
you know, like
good.
They have to, it has to be like an extension of who you are? Can you talk to them about anything? Can you get a drink? Can you go to the bar and get a drink with this guy, you know, and talk about struggle, you know? Like, these are the things we look forward to in any relationship, not only for the brand, but even as creative. I don't just work with any freaking client, you know? If that first meeting I have is me just checking out the vibe, you know, can he be a long-term friend? You know, can he or she be like that person down the line where we can actually have each other's back depending on whatever projects are coming in or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really about the vibe. Like just me and you, you know, yesterday that call we had was so interesting. Like we connected and we talked about stuff and you explained about what you were about. And then I kind of looked into what you guys were about and I was like, this is pretty awesome. It's about that energy, you know, that energy that I feel that matters, you know? And yeah, don't ever look at like, oh, I just need to get into this store because it's cool, because it's not, you know, because also it's consistency. Can you last as a brand? So many kids nowadays want to start a brand, but they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to put in the sweat. They don't want to put in the tears, you know? And I got to say, man, like I could have started the store 7 years ago right out of college, but we didn't because we needed to make sure production was solid. Mm-hmm. We needed to make sure our foundation was proper. We needed to make sure that our team was strong. We needed to make sure that people were buying the brand and believed in what we did. And we needed to have a loyal following, you know? And 7 years later, and we were like, okay, we're doing this, you know, now we're opening the shop, you know? So yes, you need foundation. You need the groundwork.
Relationships.
You need to lose money, you know, relationships.
Right.
You need to go through 10 factories and lose a lot of money and feel the burn and be like, fuck, I quit, you know? You need to get to that breaking point, you know, in order for you to build thick skin to stand. You know, Jeff Staples said this during our hangout, like, if you're getting into streetwear, you ain't going to make money. You know, you don't do it for the money. You know, you got to do it for the storytelling, the build, the legacy building, because long term, you're going to make that return, you know, because you're selling that story. I always tell this to everybody. I ain't selling t-shirts at Ages Galaxy. I'm selling a mentality. I'm selling whatever it takes. I'm selling live to strive, strive to live, committed to time. So when you put on one of my t-shirts, you have accepted that you're choosing the path of life to be the better version of yourself.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So that's basically what we're doing. Yes. And then comes the quality and all that stuff that we give a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
But it's more than that. It's more than just a garment, you know?
Right. Right. We were at Magic last year. One of our designers, Cumulative streetwear guy here in Arizona, doing great things. And one of his inspirations is Jeff Staple. And we sat down with Jeff in between ping pong games at his booth. You know how he is.
So dope. Yeah.
And Jeff was just like you are, down to earth, gave legitimate nuggets of gold information freely. And
very
then
cool.
And then went back to playing ping pong. We went back to having Coronas, you know? And that's why when I talked to you, I was talking through you to Jeff and back and forth. Like, it was just a really good conversation today and yesterday with you. And it's been amazing. But I just hear relationships
very cool.
with you. I hear consistency with you. And these are things that we want the young designers to pick up on. And the OG designers, right? There's always nuggets.
Yeah.
I'm writing down tons of things today, Thomas, that I will be applying today, tomorrow.
Awesome.
And the next day, because I'm always trying to expand as well. When you talk about social media, which we tapped on a little bit earlier, what is the number one social media platform for Ageless Galaxy to succeed and why?
Well, okay, now there's so many and I don't know, I'm starting to like lose track, but like AGLXY is really heavy on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've been trying to push our YouTube, but it's just a lot of work, you know, but we've kept our YouTube channel for just like archiving all the videos we make, but all our effort and our voice is going out through Instagram. And it's been great, you know, like we've been building, I've been focusing a lot this year, especially in the last year, 2020, we've been focusing a lot on content development, you know, like making videos, vlogging, cool cool like shoe reviews or just making dumb funny things that people could just remember and have a little bit of a laugh, you know?
Okay.
Because like 2020 was such a dark year.
Yep.
Right. And I didn't want to make it all like, oh, dark and you got to feel sorry for us and all this crap. No, man. Like, I just wanted to have fun and I want to show people like we're thriving, do random collabs without thinking about money, you know? And like, for example, during during the pandemic, see, me and OG, we really have this big love for cocktails and fine dining, right? And during the pandemic, the restaurant business were the ones that got hit so hard, right? So the first thing we did was we hit up all our favorite like cocktail bars and coffee shops. And, you know, we hit them up and then we came up with this little concept called the Stay at Home Initiative, where I work with a coffee shop and we designed like a really cool Asia's Galaxy X. The coffee shop is called Common Grounds, by the way. A really good friend of mine. Shout out to Aston. We made a special cookies and cream coffee for Aegis Galaxy with like co-branded with like, you know, our mascot on it and whatnot. And basically it was kind of like order this coffee, right? And you will, they send it home to you and you could just enjoy that ice white and just chill in your house and just support these local businesses. So at least they have some money coming in, you know? And we did that with the cocktail, like with the bars as well. We made like some DIY cocktails, made a really cool label for it. So we were trying to have fun during the pandemics and we took no money. I told these platforms like, yo, we're contributing here. We just want you guys to make money and make sure that your team, like whatever money you guys make out of it, like, you know, you give it back into the team. Everybody has like something mentally sane to do, you know what I mean, during the pandemic. And whoever has jobs, they should like, you know, embrace that, like, wow, we're still doing cool things during a pandemic, you know. And that was kind of like what was awesome. And then Instagram is where we communicated that, you know, we took photos, so everything was a micro project here and there. And and Instagram is great because you got IGTV, which is similar to YouTube. You can do long videos. You have stories. Like YouTube also has stories now. It's just too many things going on. You know? Like
I like face to face.
I was just like, yo, it's too much.
Yeah,
you know?
I like going back to face to face.
So we managed to just stick to one, but we just like repost them and blast them. And we changed a little bit of the copy here and there. But like on LinkedIn, I kind of curated a bit more on the business side of things, on accomplishments or where we succeeded, where we failed, how could we've done better. On LinkedIn is kind of like where I kind of like be a little bit more on the business side of things, you know.
Sure. Do you have any time at all to read any books? Because we like to read and share. I want two books that you can recommend for our readers to read to succeed.
So okay, I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't have patience to read a book.
Okay.
I feel like...
Give me that, articles.
And that's, yeah. So I watch a lot of... just videos of people that I really like aspire to be like, you know? So some people that I really look up to in terms of how they position themselves and make stuff happen, obviously, are like the people that... I actually reached out and made them like, you know, like Jeff Staple, Edson from Bata, you know, Benny Gold. Like I actually flew out and I met these people and had my like one-on-ones with them, you know, because all those stories that I got from them were like things that you would never learn in school. You know, these were people that actually hustle their way to get to where they need to be. Right. So for me, it was really more on that. And like, you know, Gary Vee, right? Gary Vee talks a lot about like hustle mentality. So now check this out. Like I love Gary Vee and what he stands for and how he's so aggressive. And he makes you wonder like, oh my God, I got to get up and go make something out of myself, you know? And I got to give this guy kudos, you know? And one day, potentially we cross paths and meet, and you never know, maybe a collab happens, we never know, you know. But I have a lot of love for people like this, and I just don't have the patience to read a book, but like
I'm good with these
more if I just
I like
go
this.
Out and make it happen, you know.
Yeah Hey, I'm gonna take you back to a much younger Thomas. I'm gonna take you back maybe before before college. I want you to go down, little Thomas. And if you could give little Thomas some advice that could get you to your current level of success much, much faster, what would that advice be?
Interesting question. That's a very interesting question. Let's take it back a little bit. I would probably tell I think I would probably tell my younger self to start the brand a little earlier. You know what I mean?
Start
earlier. Prior to college, start way earlier, you know? If I had started in high school or something, I think we would be on a different level. You know what I mean?
Sure. We probably couldn't even get you on the podcast if you were much bigger. We couldn't get you on the podcast.
Probably.
Yeah. You know? Start much earlier.
Wherever, no matter, you said your level of success. Honestly, I don't know if this is success. You know, I don't even know what success is like, but I know what milestones are like. I know what benchmarks are. And every time you hit a certain milestone, you just got to level up just a little bit and a little bit, you know? But for me, success is, I just have this goal where I want to be in a place where I don't want to be super rich. I just want to be financially free, you know?
Good.
Money is not an issue anymore. You know, you can just do whatever you want and help everybody around you that can, feed off that energy and be supportive to one another, you know?
Yeah. Financially free. I like that phrase. My producer Robin lives by that. If you get to know her, that's her motto.
That's so awesome. I love it. That's really cool.
Hey, tell us, why is it important for someone to rewire?
You gotta rewire, man. You gotta take a break. When you say rewire, yeah, you got to sometimes step back and look at what you're working on and see how you want to push yourself and where you want to go in life, you know? And also, you got to surround yourself by the people that matter, that really push you and in that direction, where you're going to be, you know? If you got shitty people in your life, you're just going to stay there.
Yes.
But if you find the right people around you to really motivate you and make you level up, then you're going to potentially get to that level, you know, and that's kind of how I live my life, you know, whatever the case is. I always try to find people that can mentor me in a way, you know, I'll give an example for Dave from Burnt Ends in Singapore. I've done a lot of projects with Dave, and the one thing, even though he's a chef, I look at him as a mentor, you know. I talk about business decisions. Even if I'm about to make a shitty decision, sometimes I call him up dude, so I've got this thing going down and I just want to know your thoughts from a chef perspective. You know, their job is super high intensity. So sometimes they just got to make a decision to make something happen. And you don't just get 50 best restaurants, Michelin star, just like that. It's like effort and work, you know, and beast mode activated to for precision, you know? And so sometimes I just call him and ask his perspective, and then I figure out make that shot, right? So surround yourself by people that can really
push you,
help you level up, you know? And I think that's even the way you pick your team. Let's say you start, I got to give big shout out and props to my squad. We have Jessica on my team, who's my lead designer. We have Nina, who takes care of our marketing. We have Victor, who takes care of inventory, you know, and, you know, we got Mojo, who's new, like my team is really small. There's only like eight of us on the team, you know, including the guys taking care of the shop. Keep your team nice and tight. Make sure you know everybody on a personal level. See what they want to achieve, where their goals are. And if you're going to start a business, just make sure that the objective is not just for you and your partner or yourself. The objective is for everybody on the team, regardless.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even during this pandemic, rule number one for me and OG was the team can't get affected on salaries, on mental, on health. We have to make sure that everybody is 100, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that was kind of something that we took away, you know, and I always try to make sure that I push my team in that direction for being, you know, super strong mentally. And it should never be about you when you start a company. It should be about everybody on your squad,
right?
You know, everybody,
right?
And then it should be about your fans and whoever's buying your brand, whatever, you know.
Yeah, if everyone's succeeding, it's a good place to be for sure. I know how to contact you, but how can listeners find you, Agents of Galaxy and Tomish? How can they get a hold of you?
Just go to @AGLXYCO on Instagram, and you could check us out on AGLXY.com if you want to grab some of our products. We do ship internationally, but you know, if you're struggling with shipment or whatever, you can just email us and we'll help you out. You know, like we want to just try to get our products out more to like whoever that really believes in what we do. That's about it. You know, just our website. They're you know, info@aglxy.com, or you could just hit me at tomish@aglxy.com right there. Just shoot me an email with your questions, and if I can help, I'll just help out, you know.
As always on Fashion Rewired, you can upload a free blueprint of today's podcast with Tomish on how he rewired. You can follow his exact 1, 2, 3 action steps or be inspired by his story. Just go to Instagram @FashionRewired, shoot me a DM, and I'll send you the free blueprint for Tomish. Tomish, man, this was amazing today. You and I got a lot more to talk about, but how was it for you?
This was fantastic, man. Like, I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about where I feel that would probably need like another podcast down the line, you know?
Well, we're definitely gonna have you back on.
I was trying to figure out how to compress everything, and sometimes I derail, so I apologize for that. And but like, I hope I inspired somebody out there, and you know, we just need to like, you know, keep pushing whatever it takes, man.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And we're out.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly 30-minute podcast focused on the business of fashion. Fashion Rewired is all about the successful transformation of your mind, perspective, and daily approach to your fashion brand. Make sure you listen next week for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill.